but rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now I want to talk to you this morning about a view of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that Paul is an example of grace, an example of faith and whatever to them who should hereafter believe on him, to believe on Jesus to everlasting life. So I'm going to make Paul an example this morning. There are five things about the Apostle Paul that I want to refer to. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. Now, in Ephesians 3, we'll read from verse 1. I'm going to skip some verses, but just read with me. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he hath proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now there are five things in there that I want you to notice that reveal the Apostle Paul for what he really was, his ministry, what he was as a person, what he was as a preacher, and so forth. The first thing, notice his humility. He says in verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. The Apostle Paul makes himself least of all saints. I mean, if you excluded the 12 apostles, and if you excluded Barnabas and the people who are called prophets and whatever, and brought it down to those who apparently have very little ministry at all, the Apostle Paul says that I'm the least of all saints. To me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given. Notice his humility. Now, before I really deal with his humility as such in the passage, I want you to notice that Paul says, unto me as the least of all saints is this grace given. Therefore, I could find out something about that. If you think that you have no ministry, if you think that that you have no personality, or you have no education, or you have no whatever it would take to carry on a ministry, look at the Apostle Paul. Paul said, to me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given. Notice the meekness of Moses along this line. God called Moses and he said, Moses, I'm going to send you to Egypt to call my people. And Moses said, I can't do that. He said, I'm not able to do that. My speech is weak and I can't talk, and on he goes. And the Bible said that Moses is the meekest of all men. The Bible tells me that Moses was elegant in speech and learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And yet when God said, go and call my people, Moses didn't jump up and down, clap his hands, and say, it's a good thing you call me, because there isn't very many people could have done the ministry that I can carry on down there. Or when some preacher stood up and said, okay, we're going to have the invitation, and would you surrender to go? And old Moses goes running down there and shaking the preacher's hand and said, I think I ought to go. I believe I, and on. Not so. And so it is with Paul. He said, I'm the least of all saints. To me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given. Paul's humility. Notice the sinfulness of this man. Paul presents himself as a sinner. Now, turn please to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And when I say Paul presents himself as a sinner, I've got sinner by will in mind. Now, you think about this. You say to a person, are you a sinner? They say, well, certainly I'm a sinner. What they mean is they're a sinner by nature, not by action. The fellow said, well, certainly I'm a sinner. What sin are you guilty of? Huh? Well, what sin are you guilty of? Well, you do ask me a question like that. I mean, I'm good as anybody else. Well, the Bible said there aren't any that are good. Well, I try to treat everybody right. I mean, it's hard to get people to come right out and admit that they're a sinner by action. Now, they're a sinner by nature. Oh, yeah. Everybody born in sin. You know, there's something exalted about that. Oh, yeah, I'm made just like everybody else, but I don't live like everybody else. See, self-exaltation. Why, people love to say I'm a sinner by nature, because then that gives them the opportunity to show how great they are. They've overcome that old evil nature. I don't walk after the flesh. Commit sin, you kidding? Not me. And on it goes. Well, notice Paul's humility. Paul is a sinner by action, not just by nature. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for to have counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, so forth and so on. Paul is a sinner by action. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, a passage that some people would like to leave out of the Bible. They say that this is Paul before he got saved. They say that this happened before so-and-so. Well, of course, Romans 7 comes between 6 and 8. Isn't it fascinating? The Spirit of God would put it right in the middle of the whole thing. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. That's like being a slave to sin. For that which I allow not, verse 15 again. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consider the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I don't find very many people like that. Why, it's hardly ever you find anybody that don't know how to perform that which is good, according to them. Why, they say, certainly I know how to perform that which is good. Why, who does Paul think he was, anyway? Paul said, how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't find in me, he said, in that old evil nature of mine, I can't find the zeal and the whatever it takes to do that which is good. It isn't in me to do good, he says. Why, he said, when I do good, evil's present with me. Why, the old man pops up. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, so forth and so on. Paul was not only a sinner by nature. Paul had been a sinner by practice, but now didn't practice sin as such, and yet the sinful nature overcame him at times, and he admits his condition there. He admits that when he would do good, evil is present, and the good that he would, he doesn't do, but the evil that he would not do, he finds that he does it, and on. Say, well, is that an example? That's the way we should live? No, it isn't. Paul is not giving me an example there and saying that I should go around just living in sin because I have an evil nature. That's not the point. In fact, I could stand, be like a drunk, you know. A drunk rams into another car and bangs the car all up and whatever, and finally stands before the judge, and the judge said, I fine you X number of dollars. And he said, but Judge, I mean, I couldn't help that. It wasn't I that did that. It was the booze that was in me. And the judge said, well, still stands. pay it. Well, you know, I can't stand before God someday and say, well, God, it wasn't I that did it, it's the sin that dwelt in me. God say, yeah, but you yielded to the sin that was in you. That's what I'm talking about. Isn't it hard to find anybody that ever does? I mean, you know, when you get right down to it, who does? Why, we all have a halo that stays pretty and polished and bright and all that gleaming, you know, and everything. I mean, when you get right down to it, we're all the same, though. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. I mean, you can't get around that, folks, and if you've missed that one, then you've committed all of them, for the Bible said, Whosoever should keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. Do you love the God, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, as in Luke chapter 10? You see, that's the first and the great commandment. I mean, that puts all of us in the same condition. I'm dealing with Paul's humility. Are you better than the other saints? Paul said, I'm the least of all saints. To me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given. And yet we think, because I'm better than all the rest of the saints, God Almighty has given me this ministry. There isn't anybody else that God could find to do the job like I can do it. I mean, I'm white and polished and clean all the time. Not so. I'm trying to get you to see that God Almighty has a ministry in store for you, no matter who you are or what you are, no matter what you have been, no matter what you are now. That is not the issue. The issue is faith. The Apostle Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, you can serve the Lord if you want to serve the Lord. It doesn't make any difference what you are by nature or what your sins have been by nature or by action and whatever. God has a ministry in store for you. Will you perform that ministry? Hey, if you think that you're going to get on your knees in prayer and you're going to get everything squared away, and when you've got it all squared away and you've put away all sin and you're perfect, then God will put you in the ministry. You ain't going to be in it. Paul said, I'm the least of all saints. In Matthew 22, where we're reading, he said in verse 39, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, I'm aware that it isn't easy to love your neighbors yourself. I'm aware that it isn't easy to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. There are people who just cut the Bible to shreds and take out of it what they want left out of it, put in it what they want to be in there. In fact, of the bit, it's like, you know, like a fellow, I mean, you can take the Bible, make it say anything you want to make it say. I mean, you know, I could just cut into that verse back there, and I could prove to you by the Bible that you ought to hang the prophets. I mean, that's what it said. I could prove to you, the Bible said you ought to hang yourself. Why, I'd take Matthew there where Judas went out and hanged himself and turn to Luke chapter 10 and show you where Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. But he's talking about a different subject. People cut the Bible to shreds and make it say what they want it to say at that moment to do whatever it is they want to do at that moment. All I'm saying to you folks, hey, listen to me. Do you want to serve the Lord? Then serve Him. Say, well, I'm not good enough. That's right, you're not. But you aren't going to get good enough. Paul said, I'm the least of all saints. To me, who I'm the least of all saints is this grace given. Notice the second thing, his qualification. This grace given. In verse 8, unto me who I'm the least of all saints is this grace given. And the grace that he refers to is a gift. The qualifications. Paul couldn't qualify himself. You can't qualify yourself. God Almighty must qualify the person that he sends forth. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, and that's a gift of grace, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. By the way, notice that Paul said, I say through the grace given unto me. In other words, the qualifications of the Apostle Paul, to start with, his humility, he's the least of all sinners. Therefore, Paul couldn't say in himself, for every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He had to say that through the grace of God given unto him. In other words, in that ministry that God Almighty gave to the Apostle Paul, he said to the Romans that which he has in the verse. You see, so many times our preaching and our teaching or our witnessing or whatever is in that old man that we are rather than in the grace of God that is given unto us as a gift of grace to go and carry on a ministry. For instance, we sit down and we start talking to somebody around a table and they start contradicting that which we're saying and they bring their religious beliefs up against our religious beliefs, and the first thing you know, we're going at it tooth and toenail, one religion versus another. Well, that should never be. It should be, we should deal on the basis of the grace given unto us. In other words, the gift of grace given unto us by the Lord Jesus Christ, we should deal with people on that basis, not on the basis of whether I'm right and you're wrong. Paul said, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice, dealt to every man the measure of faith. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, the gift of grace to you is the same as it was to the Apostle Paul in whatever capacity God called you into. You see, I'm not saying to you that God Almighty called you to be the same thing the Apostle Paul was. I'm saying to you, whatever you are and whatever your minister is, God's gift of grace is sufficient. The qualifications to do the job is not whether you've been good or bad. The qualifications to do the job is not whether you're educated or uneducated. The qualifications to do the job is based on the grace that God Almighty gives you. You can't do the job effectively without that grace, no matter what your personal qualifications are. By the grace given unto me. Paul said, the least of all saints, to the least of all saints is this grace given. It's a gift of grace. It's a privilege. Look at Paul. Paul was persecuting the saints. Paul was on his way with anger in his heart. Madness, just sheer madness. He's got murder on his mind. And he's on his way to get those saints over there at Damascus to bring them and make them stand trial for confessing Christ as their Savior. And at that moment, God saved him. And this man is not worthy to preach. This man is unworthy. He's the least of all saints. He's a sorry hypocrite. He's a sorry rascal. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He has denied the first commandment. He didn't love God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, all his strength. And he obviously did not love his neighbor as himself. I mean, this man has broke every commandment in the book. He is unworthy to be called. And yet God said, get up, Paul. I've appeared unto thee for this reason, to make thee a minister. You see, God Almighty doesn't send Paul on the basis of his past qualifications. If he did, Paul would end up killing the people where he went. Paul, why, can you imagine God say, Paul, I can see how you can do a good job. I mean, you'd thin them out in the church over there. I mean, you wouldn't go in there and just preach the gospel to them. You'd go in there with a real sword and cut the unbelievers' heads off. Do y'all understand what I'm saying to you? You see, Paul's nature would have been to cut the heads off. But his qualifications are not based upon what he is by nature. His qualification is based upon the gift that God gave him. It's a gift of grace. That is, I, who am unworthy to do this, now have the privilege of doing it in spite of what I am. That's exactly what Paul is saying. In spite of the fact that I've been a blasphemer and a murderer and on, in spite of all that, I have the blessed privilege of preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's qualifications are based upon the gift of grace. Then the third thing, notice his commission. In Ephesians 3, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. His commission, that I should preach. Now notice the commissions in the Bible. Turn please to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. All right, in Matthew 28, the so-called Great Commission, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, so forth and so on. Now they had a commission. Now, we go back again. Notice the calling, the grace, the gift, and whatever. In other words, it does not vary with these people. In other words, Peter is a fisherman, and Peter is standing by the boat, washing his nets and whatever, mending the nets, and Jesus Christ comes by, and he said, Come on, Peter, leave the nets and follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. Now, this is not an educated man. In fact, this is a pretty rough fellow. This man not only would have taken a sword, he did take one. And when they went out into Gethsemane and they came to get the Lord Jesus out there, old Peter uses that sword. I mean, this fellow, he don't just play around, he gets on with it. And yet the Lord said to this man, leave the nets there, come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. I'm saying to you, when you get to the commission to go and preach, has nothing to do with the dispensation. It has nothing to do with the kind of person it is or whatever. The difference is not whether God called you to preach. The difference is in what he called you to preach. Paul's commission is just like everybody else. As you look back there and watch them, for instance, there is Elijah back there. Elijah is a rougher type of a fella, and the indication is he's not too clean. And this fellow's a pretty wild type of fella, and God Almighty sends Elijah. Then he goes over and he finds Elisha. Old Elisha's plowing with a yoke of oxen out there and in the field, and Elijah goes by and throws the mantle over him, and Elisha takes out the oxen, kills them, burns the wood, cooks the oxen, they eat it, and he goes on and follows Elisha, and then takes up the ministry after he's gone. And on the thing goes. You get down to the apostles. There the apostles are fishermen. There's a tax gatherer, Levi. And on the thing goes until finally you get the apostle Paul. Well, what is Paul? Paul is a murderer. Paul is a blasphemer. Paul is an angry man. And God calls the apostle Paul to do what? Preach. You see, so many times we get so tangled up in what to preach that we never preach anything. We get so fouled up with trying to decipher out what to say that we never say anything. Hey, listen to me. You can preach out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can preach out of Revelation. You can preach out of Genesis. If you know the gospel of Christ, know what it is and how to present it, you can preach the gospel of Christ out of any book in the Bible. The point I'm trying to get across to you, listen to me, even whether we're the least of all saints doesn't make any difference. What we were before God Almighty called us doesn't matter. His grace is the qualification, and the message is preach. Why, the Bible said, be instant in season, out of season. Preach the word. Why, many a weekend I've wrestled around and turned over in my mind and went through the Bible and did everything and prayed and whatever for something to preach, and I didn't have anything on my mind, and then continuously there'd be a passage, 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word, just kept on coming to my mind. In other words, all I'm saying to you, I couldn't get on my knees and expect God to say to me, now I want you to go down there this morning and I want you to preach a message on thus and thus and thus. I couldn't get on my knees in prayer and expect God to lay out the subject for me and then go from there. Although I might be in prayer and have the thought of the subject come to me. But I can't expect God every time to do that. Why? God said, preach the word. There ain't no doubt about it. Do I know what to do? Yeah. What? Preach the word. Do you know? Yes, you do. What? Preach the word. I mean, when you sit down at the table with your neighbors or whatever, and you get around to the Bible, then turn in there and show them Jesus Christ crucified. Show them that Jesus Christ died for their sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again for their justification. Show them the passage in Romans chapter 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Show them that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What are you to do? Preach. Preach the word. Why, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. You can do that. Why, you can sit down at a table with another person and open the Bible and show them the truth. The other day we were in a place teaching and having a Bible class, and there was a lady there that she appeared that she was not saved, even though she had said that she was before. And she had some questions that indicated, well, she just doesn't really know the Lord. And so I began to deal with the woman as a lost person. I didn't deal with her as a Christian. I mean, why deal with her as a Christian? I mean, if she was saved, I wasn't going to do any harm in dealing with her as I did. So we went to the law, and we went through some things that we just spoke about there in Matthew and in Luke. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, on and on and on. And you know what? Before the thing was over with, the woman got saved. The woman received Jesus Christ as her Savior. She confessed Christ as her Savior at that time. What am I saying? I'm saying anybody could have done the same thing. It didn't have to be me. I didn't have to drive to that place and sit down there to do that. Anybody that has any zeal at all about them and any desire to do so could have done exactly the same thing that I did there. All you have to do is open the Bible and get on with it. It doesn't have anything to do with whether you're big or little, great or insignificant or whatever. It has to do with preach the word. The commission is preach. Somebody say, Brother Moore, are you trying to tell me that a woman ought to preach? Yeah, there are certainly cases where a woman has every privilege to preach. Oh, she doesn't need to have a pulpit and a big stand to get on or anything like that. I mean, she doesn't need to get in front of a bunch of men and tell them how to run things and whatever, and to usurp authority over the man, but she has plenty of privileges with women. Why, when you get around your brothers, and your sisters rather, and your cousins and aunts, or your neighbors, wives, and on and on and on the thing goes. I mean, preach. And you men, when you get around and fellowship with people and get to talking, then preach. Recently, there's a race car driver. Runs out at Five Flags Speedway every year, and this man has opened up a shop here, and I've been going by and seeing this man. And I just got friendly with him, just kept talking with him, and kept talking with him, and kept talking with him, and biding my time. And so just recently I was in this man's shop, and I told him, I said, there's something I want to tell you. I said, there was a race car driver in Montgomery, Alabama, and I told him who he was, and he knew the man very well. And I went by that fellow's shop, and went by, and that fellow got killed out here, by the way, 10, 12 years ago. That fellow had an accident out here one day, and two before hit him right between the eyes, went into his head and killed him just like that. You know what? As soon as I heard about that fellow's death, I had a sinking feeling inside of me. As many times as I went by that man's shop, I never preached the gospel to him. I never did. And so I told this man, I said, I I did that, and I was guilty of it, but I don't want that to happen with you. And I started talking to that fellow about the Lord and the gospel, and he said, Jesus Christ is my Savior. He said, man, I am saved. I could drop my teeth. I said, how do you know you're saved? And he told me. And we just, I mean, just went on and on and on. The man told me about his past life and trusting Christ as Savior and whatever, and just had good fellowship with him. Folks say, you trying to tell me that some fella driving a race car out there saved? Yeah, just like I'm telling you some fella drive a family car up the highway out there saved. I mean, a fella makes his living out there, a fella makes his living. How come? You know, that's always fascinating to me. You ever notice that, I just reading in the paper today, the First Baptist Church is going to have some big shindig sometime right soon. And they're going to have these football players, you know. One of them is Richard Todd. First Baptist Church here. They're going to have him as one of their speakers. And, I mean, people are always trying to get football, basketball players and so on. I mean, why have to get a race car driver?
We got one.
They say, well, a race car driver couldn't get saved. Yeah, he could. This fella got saved, and I know some others that are saved. Leastwise, they say they are, and they have a testimony of salvation. What I'm trying to... Hey, listen to me. Preach. What is the commission? Preach. You can preach to people. You don't have to just charge right up into a group of people and just start blasting away, though. I mean, you can take it easy. You know, get in there and slowly and surely work your way in and start talking to them. Imagine. Suppose I go out. A lot of times I'll go out to the race out here, and I'll go into the pit area. I mean, them guys are over there working on these cars, you know. They're changing the plugs and the distributor and this and that and the other, and it's hot and they're... I mean, you know, can you imagine me just going, scratching in there and looking, hey, man, I'll ask you, are you saved? Why, what, I'm going to wrap a wrench around my neck? No. I mean, use just a little bit of intelligence. Use just a little bit of wisdom in dealing with people. But preach. That's all you have to do. Why, there isn't any one of us in this room that couldn't do it if we wanted to do it. And then notice the next thing, the fourth thing, the spear of this ministry. His humility, he's the least of all saints. His qualification, he's given the grace to carry on the ministry. His commission is to preach. And then the spear of his ministry, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So you say, well, Brother Moore, where am I going to preach? Among the Gentiles. That's simple enough. I mean, just preach. It'll work out. Turn, please, to Colossians. People say, boy, I sure would love to know the will of God. Well, it's clear. Look at the will of God. Here it is. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Why, just preach. Preach the mystery. Speak the mystery. Where? Among the Gentiles. In other words, you know, when I first started trying to preach, I had visions, you know. I had visions of getting behind a pulpit, you know, and there's a big congregation out there, and I mean, you get up there on Sunday morning, you got your notes all laid out there and everything, and you get up, I mean, you preach, and of course you have to do like that every once in a while, you know, and all that sort of thing. I mean, I saw it all my life, and I mean, I never thought about preaching on the street. I never thought about just going out there and just doing that, I mean, you know, and so finally it got through to me one day. It was almost as if God had spoken to me. He did speak to me out of his word. I mean, there's people out there, you want to preach, then preach. So I started preaching in the hangar over there where I was working. And then I started preaching other places. And finally it came right down to it. God called me to preach. Where am I going to preach? So I quit Brookley Field. And you know, the first part of my ministry was on the waterfront at Mobile. My last day at Brookley Field was on Friday. I got all squared away, checked out and everything. Monday morning, I got up, got dressed, went down to the river, and I've forgotten how many, but I dealt with a number of men down on the waterfront. The rescue mission was up two or three blocks from the river there. And these characters would go down there, get them a bottle, and they'd find them a dark area down there and sit down and share that bottle. And I just went down there and just began to go among them and just sit down there with them. Start talking to them. And you know what you can't do? You can't do that and be better than they. Say, did you share their bottle? No. I already have the spirit. I just sat down there. I didn't sit down there and say, don't you know you're going to hell for drinking that old booze? I mean, nobody going to pay any attention to you when you do a thing like that. But I sat down and started talking to them. And in that way, there's some people got saved down there. Where are you supposed to preach? Wherever you get an opportunity. God said to Paul, among the Gentiles. Just go out there and get on with it. You want to preach? Hey, the world's wide open out there. You can do it in your shop. You can preach in the office. They won't let me in the office. Well, you'll make a way if you've got the zeal to do it. And then the last thing, notice the theme. His humility, he's the least of all saints. His qualification, God Almighty qualified him. It's by the gift of grace. His commission is to preach. His sphere of ministry is among the Gentiles. Just get out and go. And his theme, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now here's where we change. You see, down to this point, there not have been a lot of difference in Paul and Peter. Peter's a pretty rough man. Paul's a pretty rough man. Peter gets saved. He doesn't run and kneel down and go seeking at the altar and whatever. Neither does Paul. God Almighty saves Peter. God Almighty saves Paul. Peter's confession is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul's confession is that Jesus Christ is Lord. He leaves his profession and follows the Lord. Paul leaves his profession and follows the Lord. Peter is a humble man. Paul is a humble man. And on the thing goes. Both of them are sent to preach. But now the thing changes. Peter is told that he's to go and preach the gospel to every creature, and that gospel is repent and be baptized for remission of sins. That gospel is the gospel of the uncircumcision. That message is not just believe on Jesus, but believe, repent, and be baptized for remission of sins, looking unto the salvation or the grace that is to be brought unto you at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ dies here, Pentecost is here, Peter preaches at this place, repent and be baptized, in effect, looking for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul's ministry, though, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul's message is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Paul's message is that God made him to be sin for us, him who knew no sin. Paul's message is that Jesus Christ was buried and that he rose again for our justification. Paul's message is that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Paul's message is the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. Totally different. Isn't it fascinating? I mean, people, they go all the way through that thing and never see the difference in the message. Hey, folks, there ain't any difference in the men. Paul is no greater or no less than Peter. Paul is no better or no worse than Peter. And on the thing goes, and they're both told to go and preach. But they're not told to preach the same message. Paul's message is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And most people think that Paul's message is every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, and while the pianist softly plays just as I am without one plea, will you please walk the aisle for Jesus? They think that's Paul's message. That's not Paul's message. Paul never dreamed of such a thing as that. Paul's message is, Jesus Christ died for sinners. Makes no difference who you are, what you are, what you have been, what your moral character has been, what your moral character is now. Jesus Christ died for your sins. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to kneel down. Sit down, walk anywhere, say anything, or do anything. Just believe on Jesus Christ, receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. That's Paul's message. He said, preach the word. Rightly divide the word of truth. I can see the likeness of the preachers all the way from Adam down unto Paul. I can see their likeness right down to the message. But when you get to that message, everything changes. His message, preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hey, folks, we that are poor are made rich by faith in Christ. The wealth of Christ. God Almighty blessed you on the basis of your faith in His Son. You want to honor God the Father? Believe on His Son. You want to be dishonoring to God? Then doubt the work of His Son. That's the most dishonorable thing you could do. Paul's humility is the least of all saints. His qualifications to preach is on the basis of the grace given unto him by God the Father. His commission is to preach the place among the Gentiles, the message, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Folks, there are five things in there that if you'll get those things straight in your mind and get on with it, you'll be a blessing to other people and a blessing to the Lord and to the Father. There ain't nobody in this room that couldn't do it if they wanted to do it. Let's stand.